This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back. And I mean, not only the show, but the NFL as well. All 32 NFL teams at training camp as of today, alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonatoni with you as we welcome you into this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to have some fun with No Way and No Doubt. A little later, VSiN Zone, Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, where I am broadcasting from. He'll join us for the final half hour. Get in Palm's pressing three, Mike Palm's three hot button questions that he's got for Michael Lombardi. But Michael, where I want to start is a fun topic here, because I want the rumor mill to churn in Pittsburgh. The latest out of Steelers camp, Mike Tomlin told reporters today, Russell Wilson's dealing with a calf issue he woke up with and is considered day-to-day. Said Wilson wanted to practice, but it was a coach's decision to sit him today and create, quote, short-term misery for Wilson. So Justin Fields taking first team reps on the first day of practice.
Well, I mean, why not, right? I mean, I'm sure his MVP odds are going to go through the roof now. Watch it. Watch it, Stormy. He's going to be MVP of the league. You know, watch it. People are going to bet him. He's going to go down to 5-1 soon. You know that. I mean, wherever Justin goes, MVP voters go. It's amazing. It's almost like he carries delegates with him. Oh, that's a whole other subject. But anyway, look, here's the reality. He needs all the reps he can get, right? I mean, like, that's just he's going to need to get those reps. And Russell, I think really the question for Pittsburgh is, can they get production out of these quarterbacks this year? Because for as bad as they were last year, and this is kind of an interesting thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers. As bad as they were last year, they lose to the New England Patriots. They lose to the they lose to Arizona Cardinals at home. I mean, think about those two. They won 10 games and made the playoffs. If they don't lose to those two bad teams, they're in, but they won 10 games against some teams you can't. And I think ultimately it's going to come down to, can they continue to play mistake-free? Because for all their faults offensively, for as bad as they looked last year, they were able to protect the football. And by not turning the ball over, kept them in these games as bad as they were. That's how they won 10 games. They protected it. They were 30th in drives ending in turnovers, which is high for a team that only had 7 fumbles and 9 interceptions. Think about that.
Michael,
they only turned the ball over 16 times, and yet they finished 30th in drives ending in turnovers.
Yep. If they take care of the football, and Russell Wilson or whomever is playing quarterback, quite frankly, just produces at a respectable level at quarterback, this team could be really good, because if we know the success that they could have on defense, unfortunately, the schedule for them, especially the back end of the season, is going to be tough playing as many division games as they do. Win total for the Steelers sitting at 8.5. As far as the division goes, 8-1 long shot, plus 185 to make the postseason for the second year in a row. And it is an interesting conversation, I think, in Pittsburgh, just in general offensively, when you think about Wilson and Fields and Arthur Smith leading the way as an offensive coordinator, all guys that were fired from their last spots trying to rebuild their reputation. Okay, now a guy that does not need any reputation rebuild, a stud, the reigning MVP, Lamar Jackson, was also not out there on the field. He had just 1 hour played in his return to Ravens practice yesterday. He's missed the first 3 days of Ravens training camp with an illness and left midway through yesterday's practice. Today's the first team day off that they have, so he'll get a little bit of time to rest. But, like, get some airborne, my guy. I feel like every year we're dealing with some sort of an illness with Lamar Jackson. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I don't understand it. I mean, you know, if this would have been 3 years ago, we'd have shut down the practices. It would have been COVID.
Yeah, right.
Everybody would have stayed home, right? I mean, come on. Look, it's early. He's got to have to figure out. I'm interested to see this Ravens team, especially with Derrick Henry in the backfield, and how they've configured this offensive line, what it looks like, and how all these pieces are going to fit with the offseason, especially with Zach Gore taking over as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I know you definitely have a lot of questions on the defense, because Well, it's a coach, right? Mike McDonald made a massive impact, and we gave you the numbers in hour one, which, by the way, if you missed any of the first hour of the show, a lot of those key headlines, you can always download the Lombardi Line in podcast form wherever you get your podcast. But we talked about how stout that Ravens defense was last year under his guidance. So will they take a step back, especially considering they lost some pieces as well? Let's move forward to Buffalo here, where you might remember last week or the week before, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN had an article out and you heard an anonymous quote from somebody in a front office calling Josh Allen overrated. Here was Brandon Bean's response to that on the podium yesterday.
Sal, there's idiots everywhere. There are people that did not, we all are well aware when Josh came out, there are people that thought he was a bust or would not make it, for all the reasons that they've listed over the years. And I just think anytime someone thinks they got a crack, they're going to say, see, I told you so. See, they're looking for things. You can look at any player in any sport and point out negatives. No one is God or a robot. But Josh's positives don't even come close to the negatives.
Michael, I love how that started, by the way. There's idiots everywhere. Like, put your name to something if you're going to say it. But when it comes to Josh Allen, right, we've had this conversation a lot. How many teams in the NFL wish they could have him on their team?
Correct. And I was one of those people that didn't think he was going to be able to do what he's done because his accuracy in college wasn't very good. And it's improved. And I don't pick on his accuracy anymore because it's greatly improved. And now he is the hardest man in the league to tackle. You can't get him on the ground. He's rushed for 17 touchdowns. Without him in the red zone, they may not score a touchdown. I mean, he gets the ball in the end zone for him. So Brendan's right. There are idiots. If you can't learn from your mistakes or your critique of a player, you know, then I think to me, you're not a very good scout. And if you want to pick on one thing he does poorly, look, his interception percentage is too high for a good quarterback. But good quarterbacks want to take chances. You know, it's like the center fielder in baseball who doesn't have any errors. It means he doesn't get any balls. You know, when you got a gun like Josh Allen has, you're going to try to get the ball in somewhere. And usually he does. And so you live with some of the mistakes he has to make. It's not saying it's perfect, but you can. But Brandon's right. There are idiots everywhere.
Obviously, those mistakes were limited more when he was being coached by Brian Daboll. Is there anything that, like, you know about that relationship that helped Josh Allen as much? Or is there something specifically you noticed about his game that he can do to rein that in?
I think they were more of a six-back a team. I think they ran the ball a little bit more with him from the field. When they get in the red zone, he's the threat, right? I mean, they want to run him down there. But I think to me, when early with Brian, he was willing to take what the defense was giving him. And I think now, I think there's a sense. I mean, remember last year, they got, you know, they had to win every game down the stretch to make the playoffs. They ended up winning the East, but there's a point in time where it didn't seem like it was going to be that way. And I think sometimes he's trying to take chances and help his team win. You know, when I've said this, when he plays point guard and dishes, they're a better offense. When he plays point guard and scores, they're not the same team. And I think that's one of the reasons why he has a higher turnover percentage. But I think he can certainly correct that. Look, the guy's dynamic. I mean, like I said, he's rushed for 15 touchdowns in the red zone. I mean, think about that, Stormy. I think the team had for the whole team, they only had 22 touchdowns rushing. They had 22 touchdowns rushing. He had 15 of them.
Yep. Third shot in the league to be the MVP this year as well for a reason. Patrick Mahomes, your favorite at plus 475. CJ Stroud, plus 850. But Josh Allen and Joe Burrow both right there at 9-1. Okay, last couple minutes here. One of my favorite things that we've been doing throughout the course of the offseason is asking you, Michael, what's on Michael's mind today? So what can't you get out of your head this Thursday?
Well, I think Tampa Bay's been disrespected. I saw Todd Bowles' quote this morning where he said this is going to be the fastest team he's had defensively. And, you know, Mike Somich in the last block, he does a great job, but he was talking about how old they are on defense. They only have one player over the age of 30 on their defense. They're young on defense. They're not old. They're young and they're fast. Todd's right. they're going to be explosive. And I think if Vita Vey, who's lost a lot of weight this year, to go along with Kancey, the kid they drafted in the first round, they've got Logan Hall on the defensive front to go along with Tyron from Washington. I mean, this is a good defensive front. Can't run the ball on them, Stormy. It's very challenging. Teams come out there with the third team in the National Football League and facing rushing attempts because it's hard to run the ball on them. You got to try to throw it. And they're physical up front, and that physicality is really good. Look, you know, they're when they can score, when they can get that offense going, if they can play better in the red zone, which they were 30th in the red zone last year offensively, and if they can score more than 20 points, this team will win the North again.
Ranked 8th in the NFL in opponent points per game since 2021, 7th last season, and have been particularly stingy in those division games as well. So I like your perspective there. Last minute, obviously we're talking defense, but offensively, are there concerns about Baker Mayfield not having Dave Canales anymore, like Samich mentioned?
Well, I mean, you know, Canales wasn't the offense coordinator in Seattle. So, you know, last year he was never that. He kept getting bypassed in Seattle. But look, I think that Baker played better for Canales, but they couldn't run the ball. They're 32nd in the league in rushing 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row, they couldn't run the ball. And so Canales didn't fix that problem. I think their real issue is red zone, right? They were 30th in the league in red zone production. They couldn't get the ball in there. They had 10 games where they scored under 21 points last year. They were 3-7 in those games. When they got to 21, they're 7-2. I think they'll be okay without Canales.
Such good insight, as always, Michael. Okay, we got to take a quick timeout. Always excited for our next segment, No Way or No Doubt. A couple interesting headlines I want to go through as it pertains to stars in the league, guys going through contract negotiations. We'll find out Michael's thoughts next in No Way or No Doubt. And of course, as I mentioned off the top, Mike Palm for the final half hour today. Excited to have him join us as well. Maybe get a little Circus Survivor talk in because I know that's your favorite. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, and our all-new college football betting guide drops 1 week from today, coming out Thursday, August 1st. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts are providing profiles for each and every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings, plus, of course, best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount price of just $175. The football special discount price expires July 31st, so don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
All right, Michael, whether it is now, whether it is next season, whenever it happens, Dak Prescott is going to be a very rich man. But my question to you, no way or no doubt. That's true. Dak Prescott will be a free agent next year. What do you think?
No way. I don't see it. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. The only way that that happens is if they believe Trey Lance can be the answer. And I can't believe they believe that. I've talked to people in Dallas, and nobody seems to think that's the case. So I think, you know, what will happen is, like what happens with a lot of teams, they'll bring a new coach in and they'll try to win with another coach, another regime, and try to keep Dak. But again, I said this on the GM Shuffle today, part of what fans don't understand about signing a player or not signing a player or paying Dak is, what does the team around them look? You have to model it out. So what you typically do is, if I pay Dak and his cap number is $60 million, what do I look like for the rest of the team? And I think that's what Jerry's trying to figure out.
If they don't get a deal done, though, because if you're Dak at this point, are you just saying, okay, you guys clearly aren't working as hard as you want to. I'm not even going to answer the phone for you now. Let's go through the season. I'll bet on myself like I have in the past. You can't franchise tag me. I can test the market. Maybe I'll still end up in Dallas, but I can test the market and see what other teams think I'm worth and see what they're willing to pay me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but typically, you know, quarterbacks never leave, right? I mean, they typically, you know, when you're in a good situation, and look, Dak played his best for Mike McCarthy last year. And there's no question about that. He played his best. I can't imagine him leaving.
Okay. Let's go to Lamar Jackson, who is the defending MVP, two-time winner of the award individually, but nothing quite has happened for him as a team just yet. The playoff record is not good, and he's still in search of his first Super Bowl. No way or no doubt, Lamar Jackson will win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I'm going to say no doubt he will. He has to, right? I mean, he's going to break through it. It's not his fault they didn't call any run plays. Look, I think they understand him. They're getting to understand him better and better. For me, I think he will. I have great respect for his talent. I have great respect for his ability. I don't think he shies away from the competition. I think certainly he'll play well in big games, and I expect him to win one.
Third shortest shot on the board to win a Super Bowl in 2025, Baltimore Ravens at 10-1, behind only the Chiefs at 5-1 and the 49ers at 6-1. Now, we talked a lot about the Bucs today, giving them some love on what could be to come on defense. But how about offensively? Let's go to Mike Evans here, who extended his record of 1,000-yard seasons last year with 10. The Bucs wideout is now looking for a similar year and going to pull away and tie and break Jerry Rice's record. No way or no doubt, Mike Evans will break Jerry Rice's record of 1,000-yard seasons. What do you think?
Yeah, no doubt. I think he will. I mean, look, he's got 17 games to do it in. He stays healthy. He's durable. I think if the Bucs can get their offensive line thing squared away, which is always problematic for them, I think he certainly can, because he's still, look, Mike Evans has never beaten you with vertical speed. He's beaten you with power, and power doesn't go out of style.
Speaking of pass catchers, there is a couple that are trying to get new deals done. Obviously, Justin Jefferson secured the bag, but CeeDee Lamb on the horizon. Brandon Ayuk trying to get a new deal. Ja'Marr Chase, although we did see reports that that's unlikely this season. No way or no doubt, Jefferson will remain the highest paid wideout in the NFL this entire season. What do you think?
Oh, I think he will. I think he will, because I think ultimately it's hard to count the deal, right? I think it's really hard to count what it's 32 or 35, and I think he'll stay that way. I really do.
So CD, even if he gets a deal done, you don't think it's going to exceed Jefferson? And I mean, the numbers...
I think it's going to be less than Jefferson,
okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the numbers statistically...
I think the only one who could beat him...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go. If you finish.
I was just saying, the numbers statistically bear out that Jefferson is the better receiver, right? Like, even with the time off that he has made, despite what CD did being the number two guy in the entire league last year, Jefferson's overall numbers are better. But finish your thought.
I just think, for me, I think ultimately, you know, Jefferson, it's hard to beat that number. Tyreek Hill would be the only one who could make the case to beat it.
Oh, and what a segue that is for our next one, Michael, because Tyreek Hill, yes, is trying to get a refigured deal out there in Miami. Tua Tagovailoa also trying to get a contract himself. No way or no doubt Hill gets a deal done with the Dolphins before Tua.
I think there's no doubt he'll get one. I mean, Tua needs him. Tua should be rooting for it. I mean, you take Hill off this team, what's Tua? I mean, really? They'll double Waddle, and then where's the ball going? Tua's going to be holding it. He'll get hit. Look, Hill is the guy. Hill's the guy. Everybody in the league knows it.
So what do you think the number is going to be? Do you have a guess?
I think he's going to get, they'll probably guarantee next year, and he'll probably add some money to it. You know, keep us, I would say, probably put him right up there with Jefferson.
Okay. While we're talking contracts, if Tua, whether or not Tua gets his done, doesn't matter. We know Jordan Love is going to, and we have heard repeatedly that it was going to be done prior to training camp. We're at training camp. It's not done yet. We hear from Adam Schefter. It's going to get done by the end of the week, potentially, and he could be the highest paid player in NFL history. What does Michael Lombardi think? No way or no doubt, Jordan Love will be the highest paid QB in NFL history with his deal.
No doubt. I mean, look, Adam doesn't get it wrong, and the Packers are more than willing to play. The fact that the Packers are willing to let him roam around the field and not do anything, I think they'll definitely get it done, and I think it'll happen sooner rather than later. I think there's no question that by the weekend he'll be the highest paid. Now, again, like you said in your storm warning, it doesn't make it right. It just makes it.
Expectations for Jordan Love and the Packers this year, Michael. Like, how far do you think Jordan Love could take it, given the schedule and the division with which they play in?
I mean, they're really, when you go through the numbers, Stormy, they're good. I mean, the problem is their run defense has been so poor, right? Last year, they gave up four games of over 100 yards rushing, 200 yards rushing. They've got to do better. And for me, I think they can. But right now, you know, I think that's Jeff Hafley. But offensively, the third best offensive line in football in terms of pass protection. If Jacobs is healthy, why can't he be a good player? I mean, for me, I think it's really got a great opportunity. It's right in front of them.
Are you just saying that because Big Daddy Vince is listening? Is that what's happening here, or do we really believe it?
No, Big Daddy Vince doesn't think they're going to win anything. Big Daddy Vince has got a big job today. He's going to put together the stand for the pizza oven. Let's just get him focused on that more than anything. We got to get him on that.
Well done. Send pictures. We got to put those bad boys on the air.
I'll send you pictures, yes.
There we go. One more quarterback I want to talk about. Matt Stafford, currently four-year, $160 million deal, runs through the 2026 season. Head coach Sean McVay confirmed his contract has been restructured, but noted he did not receive an extension. No way or no doubt, Stafford, 36 years old, will play the remaining years of his contract.
No way. I don't see him holding up. I just can't see that he can. Look, I have great respect for him. I think he's been, you know, a great player, and he's tougher than hell. But I think one of the reasons why it's been difficult to get a contract for him is because he's, you know, they're worried about his elbow. And, you know, this off, I think they're going to run the ball a lot more. I mean, last year they were 2-7 when they only scored 21 points. I mean, they need to slow the game down. They need to run it, and they need to maximize their ability to control the football to help their defense a little bit, who's going to be obviously missing Aaron Donald.
If Stafford stays healthy this year, no way or no doubt, Rams are a playoff team.
No doubt. Yeah, I think they are. They're well coached. I think they will be, yes.
Okay. I hope so, because I bet that. So I needed a little bit of confirmation. That's okay, Michael. We have Mike Palm coming up next here on the Lombardi Line. So I'll end on this note, because obviously Circa Million, Circa Survivor are going to be a really hot topic. No way or no doubt, Michael, Stormy Buonantony can contend in Circa Survivor this year. What are you thinking? Can we get more positive vibes out there?
No doubt. No doubt she can contend. I mean, you've got everything you need, you know, experience, ingenuity, creativity, you know, the guts to make a tough call. Those are the important things to have.
My
you know,
guy.
If you're going to go with everybody else, you're going to lose.
Can always count on you. Excited to talk a little Circa Survivor, see where things stand right now in July with Mike Palm as he joins us for the final half hour of the program. Stick around. Lots more to come here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Buonantony, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, make sure you check out VSiN.com. Best bets each and every day from all of our show hosts and analysts. Updated betting splits, exclusive articles, including regular columns from our own Michael Lombardi, odds by state, and the betting guides, of course. The NFL betting guide out now. The college football betting guide delivered to your inbox 1 week from today. Head to VSiN.com now. VSiN.com/subscribe to join the party and get in on all of the action. The action's going on right here at Circa Resort and Casino as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Buonantony with you, and Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino. VSiN Zone joining us here on set. How you doing? How was Colorado last week, by the way?
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, the weather was perfect. Now, the guys, Banksy, Wilbo, Tyler, Steven, they had went and played in a golf tournament on Thursday, and they said it was 95. It was hot. But we got there. We landed right after it had rained, and it was like perfect. It was mid-70s and overcast, intermittent sprinkling. And they have that little strip. You're familiar, obviously. You said you lived there working for the Mountain West, that cute little strip. Yeah. It's like Old Main Street. Mm-hmm. So the hotel was near there, and we kind of hung out there, went to a couple different bars, had lunch. It was funny. We were sitting now. Tim Murray was with us. from VSiN Primetime. We were sitting there. We were actually watching you covering the flag football. They had it on TV in this bar. And we're talking. We're eating lunch. And a guy comes in and he said, "I heard Mike Palm's voice." This guy was worked in the athletic department at Colorado College.
Yeah.
There he used to be a Division III basketball coach. He's worked there for 7 years now. He's a fundraiser in the athletic department. So he's a huge VSiN fan. So he walked in and sat with us, talked to us for a few hours. The event we went for, Michael, was to raise money for Green Beret widows. So it was all a bunch of the Green Berets there, and you know, a couple families who had lost the their soldier, and the kids were there and that. So it was a fundraising event. We went there, we sponsored it. You know, talked about Circa Sports in the contest, gave away 3 free trips to come here to Circa. But one of the Gold Star families, that's a family that's lost the soldier, actually won the trip. Actually, his oldest son, who just turned 21, won the trip, right?
Perfect.
And you know, they all said, "You're going to take your mom?" And she's like, no, let him take his buddies. They just turned 21. Let him have fun. So I told the mom if she wanted to bring the whole family, we'd put him up at the D on a separate trip, you know. But it was for a really great cause, really interesting guys, very different, like how they're organized in their regiments. They're like, you know, they all think something of the other one and have these rivalries and that. It was pretty fun, and I was glad we got to go there and be a part of it.
Oh, that's awesome, Mike. That's awesome. And so update us on Survivor and Millions. How's that contest going?
Yeah, we're over 2,000 now in the Survivor. So 20% of the way there, obviously, with the $10 million goal. It's pacing 32% ahead. But as Derek warns us, there's 2 less days because of the leap year, actually, when you turn September 1st. So he doesn't think we're off to that big of a lead. And we're approaching 1,000. In the millions. That will still be harder. I think we'll get to the 10, maybe even 12. When I talk to the proxies, there's proxies in the book every day signing their customers up. Some just keep office hours in case someone comes in and needs a proxy. But when I talk to the proxies and I say, "How's it pacing for you?" It's pretty common. About even in the millions and 20, 25, 30% up in the survivors. So that's good. I know I had Jeff Benson run the numbers again last week about of the survivor entries, how many are new, how many played last year. It's very encouraging that it's still about 50-50, mm-hmm. that we're getting that many new entries because the rate of return is very high on the contest.
So in terms of like, it's July 25th today.
Yeah.
We have the Hall of Fame game kicking off the preseason next week. The first game will be here September 5th on Thursday Night Football. At what point does it really pick up? Like, when's your busiest time for people getting in?
It kind of really takes off on that sign-up weekend that we do, which is August 22nd, 23rd, 24th. It kicks off that Thursday night at Andiamo, Michael. We have dinner for past champions. So anybody that's split in a survivor or finished...
It's like a master's dinner.
It is, though.
Yeah, except, it's awesome.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys have jackets, right? Because you give out jackets in the millions, and some even make their own survivor jackets. And the guys that win Matt Eumann's contest on Friday nights have a jacket as well. It's cool. But we have that dinner at Andiamo, usually 20 to 30 people. So either top 10 in the millions or they were part of the split in Survivor. Then we do, at Thursday night, we do kind of an open bar at Bar Canada and meet and greet. That's fun. Now, a lot of radio people will be here because we do that radio row for that week. So I think we have 27 different stations are going to be here or podcasts. They hang out there on Thursday night. Friday's stadium swim day. So I think anybody that buys 3 or more entries combined in the contest, we reserve the upper deck at stadium swim to hang out on that Friday. We're actually going to do something new this year where we're going to do kind of a lottery. We're going to pick a raffle, 5 names, and they're going to do a single table blackjack shootout for $10,000 in future bets, kind of like we do with our invitationals. I got to get you the details on the one. That's the weekend before that. That's the 15th through the 17th, the one you'll be playing
in. We'll be here.
And then the Saturday is the panel. That's the highlight of the Saturday, and we're happy with the panel we put together. Did I break it on this show last week? Is that when I mentioned it for the first time on air?
Was that your first time mentioning it?
Or did I mention it on this show, or was it with Femi on Saturday?
I think it was with Femi. Yeah.
Okay, so the panel is set, and I know Michael was one of our original panelists the second year, I think. I'm very proud. It's our 6th panel. I haven't repeated anybody. So that's nice, right? That I've been able to rotate people through. So Jamie Pelleggi works in our risk room. He focuses on NFL props, NFL futures, and NFL game management. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports will be on the panel. Frank's the senior writer and their lead football guy. He's been with them over a dozen years. Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, one of the co-founders of RotoWire, two-time fantasy sports writer of the year. And Willis McGahee, some people may know from either his days at Miami or his days around the NFL with several teams, two-time All-Pro. So I'm happy with the panel again this year, Michael.
Well, it'd be great. Yeah, it's always a good. Unfortunately, I just can't make it out there. And the night before, I have a meeting with somebody at Wells Fargo that I cannot. I've been waiting 2 years to have this meeting, so I can't get on a plane Saturday morning until I know I have this meeting. So anyway,
you are making another trip as well, though. So we talked about Colorado Springs. You're headed to Sparks, Nevada.
I told Derek, is there some way you can delay it? I love my 2 hours with Stormy.
I know.
On Fridays.
I'm it's actually pretty messed up. I thought that Derek and I had a good relationship, but he's just taking you away from me on Fridays.
I actually think the flight leaves at noon, but it,
oh, really?
But we got to leave here at 11:30.
Come on, hold off the PJ.
Yeah, right. We're going to Sparks again for our Northern Nevada sign-up weekend. We screwed it up last year. We went on the same day they do their big car show up there, and we didn't know that. But they do this like hot summer nights car show. So we wondered why so few people from California came. Well, the room rates were all like $5.99 hotel rates. So who was coming in for the weekend to see us and sign up for the con? We mistimed it. So we did it a weekend earlier. So we're flying up there tomorrow afternoon. Several of their local TV and radio shows will be live on site at Legends Bay.
Great.
Yeah. Shara Pan is doing his podcast up there live tomorrow. We'll have a couple proxies come up as well. So there'll be plenty of proxies there to help people sign up. So we're looking forward to going up to Reno. That property is beautiful. It's a little different. It's set in a strip mall, but it's really like we were there opening night, and then we were there 1 year later. You thought you were there opening night. It's so clean, right? Like we pride ourselves. We have the PAD in the bathrooms and keeping everything spotless. They're just the same. These are very, very, and the air is very pure. So they do a good job with that. It's a cute little casino.
How far is that from Tahoe, if you don't mind me asking?
So it's 10 minutes outside of Reno. So I think
like an hour.
Yeah, as a drive, it's maybe hour 10. But we're trying to drive people from the Bay Area to come out, right? Three and a half hour drive and get them to come and sign up and make their trip. So hopefully that'll be successful.
Yeah, I agree. No, it'll be nice out there. I guess last thing. So obviously we're peppering you with questions before you do Palms Pressing 3 next and you hit Michael with the hard hitting questions. But one that has been a theme of this show today is whether or not we believe that Jordan Love should make Joe Burrow money. Where do you sit on that?
Should Brock Purdy make Joe Burrow money? I mean, I think that's another question. San Francisco.
That's another year pushback down the line.
I understand, but they're going to have to start making
decisions.
He's
been to Super Bowl. He's been to NFC championships. What's Jordan Love done?
I think the ceiling on Jordan Love is really high, but our basis of evidence is
very short.
You'd pay
it, huh, Mike? You would pay it?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you would pay it. I asked Stormy this. If he would have had the reverse year, say his first part of the season was great, the second half wasn't, would he be getting this deal?
No, not even close. No, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
Yeah.
But you've got to weigh that. I mean, you had what? Well, you could say 11 games of evidence, the last 9 games of the regular season, but that's a very short amount of evidence. But I think the ceiling is very. Stormy and I did our top 5 quarterback rankings a couple weeks ago. I had him as an honorable mention top 5. Begrudgingly, I put Lamar Jackson in 5th. We'll have a question about him next segment.
Okay. For me, I can't get the first half of the season out of my head. I know everybody looks at what he did the back half of the year. I get it.
Once he understood where the center was lined up, things fell into place.
Palms Pressing 3 coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
You know, my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
All right, Mike Palm, let's do it. Palms Pressing 3.
Okay, Michael, question number 1. There's no disputing that the NFL is king. King amongst the American sports, and it also drives a large and significant part of our economy. But is there anything in your mind that threatens to knock the NFL off the throne? And I'm going to give you a list of choices. You can say one of them, multiple, or none of the above. But here are things that I think that peck away at the reign of the NFL. The proliferation of games being taken out of the country. The saturation of playing games almost every day of the week. The eradication of physical play through penalization. The transition of local ownership to hedge fund companies. Gambling suspensions. Contract hold-ins. And the cost of NFL TV packages on multiple networks. Anything have a shot to derail this? What's the most serious concern in your mind?
Well, I think anytime you get corporations involved and hedge funds come in and you eliminate the mom and pop operation and you go to, you know, all these compliance things, that certainly could throw a wrench into it. But none of the other ones. I thought you were going to mention concussion protocol, which has always been. Malcolm Gladwell 5 years ago went on his podcast and said that, you know, most of these football stadiums in the next 50 years will look like the Colosseum in Rome empty. You know, I don't know where he came up with that, but that's what he came up with. I listen to his podcast, Revisionist History, all the time. And so I thought when I was walking, I almost fell down when I listened to that. I do think concussions and serious injuries are going to play a factor, and the owners are going to have to make sure that this enormous pie of wealth gets shared with the people that have made this game so great.
Well, and I don't know, like when you look at the broadcast, right, of the last year, how many of the top 100 were NFL games of live broadcasts that were watched? It was like 96 of the 100 were all NFL games. It's hard to imagine something knocking off the league in the near future.
Mike, Michael, question number two. I've been catching up on Receiver. Both Femi and Stormy told me this Netflix show is very good and certainly better than the quarterback one last year. No, it's not a specific comment about the quarterbacks. But something really caught my attention, and it was Amon-Ra St. Brown talking about his injury after week three against the Falcons. He said he sustained a serious rib injury. He couldn't walk and almost couldn't breathe. Yet that entire week, he was never listed on the injury report. In light of that, Michael, I want to ask you, how transparent are teams in actually reporting injuries? And do you think that the Lions will get fined in light of this revelation?
Oh, I think they should get seriously fined, and teams do get fined. I mean, this is an absolute complete violation of the integrity of the game. I think they've got to come down hard on the Lions. Look, if a guy is out there, he's not at practice, and you don't have to tell him how severe it is because obviously he played. So if they listen to him at probable and he played, I get that. But you don't have to tell the extent of it. But if they didn't have him on the injury report at all, then it's a huge problem.
So I completely agree with all of that in general, but is this something that, Michael, in your experience is normal? Like, is that something that you've had happen on teams to where things haven't been revealed? Like, is that normal operating procedure and practices behind the scenes with teams?
I think the way they've cracked down the last few years, Stormy, they've been more diligent about this, and teams have overloaded their injury report to where it's excess. They don't want to be caught with someone who doesn't play not on the list. Now, where the fudge element comes into play is, you know, you list a guy as probable or you list a guy as doubtful and you know he's going to play. Those things are kind of always in question, but to not have the guy on the list when you know he's got ribs, you know he's having trouble breathing, you know he really can't run, and there's nothing you could do for him. It isn't like you could say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. No, you can't. You know, that's a pain tolerance thing that you've got to get through.
You know, the NFL is lauded as having the best injury reporting policy, right? We grouse about hockey with the upper body, lower body, no details. The NBA, you don't know who's starting till 10 minutes before the game.
Probable actually means doubtful if it's Giannis Antetokounmpo and vice versa.
Baseball, they're out 10 or 60. So I think it gets heightened, the scrutiny on this, because of the partnerships with sports gambling, though. Because this not only affects the integrity of the game and competition within the league, but also can skew it from a betting perspective when you're covering up injuries and people don't have access to who's going to play. All right, third question. Michael, one of our favorite guys, Lamar Jackson, the COVID kid, back in the headlines again. He comes back to practice with the Ravens. Only practices for an hour. Reports of people there at the practice say he walked off the field wearily. There were some reports that he was sick, but Todd Monken said he was 100% fine at the start of practice. Is there any cause for concern with Lamar Jackson only practicing for 1 hour?
Yeah, well, I think obviously he's got some kind of bug and you've got to worry about it, right? I think there's no question that that's got to be a worrisome. Why is he out there? And if he's 100% and then he gets sick, is there something? Does he have a neurological problem? Does he have Meniere's disease? Is he getting off balance? I mean, who knows? I mean, but there's a reason he walked off the field. I think you have to take that as a serious thing. But fortunately, it's only July and there's plenty of time. Mike, I wanted to ask you a pressing question since you brought up Baltimore. What was Justin Tucker's numbers outside of 50 yards last year?
I know he had an off year for his standards. You got it in front of you, Michael?
Right in front of me. They're 1-5 outside of 50, which to me is, you know, we both agree he belongs in the Hall of Fame and he sometimes belongs in the MVP conversation. But my question is, do we think he could be slipping?
Well, it's very possible. And usually for a kicker, it's not a gradual slope. It comes off from a plateau and goes down. So I guess that's an area of concern in handicapping. And it's something that I really didn't think about, but I've taken an anti-Baltimore stance this year. I've given the proliferation of reasons why I think the Bengals are going to win that division. I think Baltimore loses. Like you said, Michael, they have guys waiting to play, but they still have to prove themselves. I think they lose a lot on the defensive side from the coordinator going to Seattle and then a guy who's never called plays before. I mean, that's one thing to be young and be seven years out of the league, but you've never called plays at any level before. That's a steep learning curve, especially early in the year. Obviously, they get a number one schedule. The Bengals had a winning record and get a number four schedule. So the Bengals have a big advantage in that respect. I think the Bengals played the best single game of the NFL regular season last year when they went to Stormy's 49ers and I thought convincingly beat them in that game when they were fully healthy. And then the other thing is, I still think there will be lingering effects of the way Baltimore lost the AFC Championship game, getting down one score and completely abandoning their identity as a running team, having Lamar Jackson throw the ball 20 yards down the field on 2nd-and-4 and 3rd-and-4. I mean, Reed and the Chiefs came out and said it. We knew they couldn't come back in the second half. We were just running the clock out. They totally lost their way. I don't know how they get their way back immediately. So those are the factors why I'm against.
Not even considering
Tucker.
Mike, they panicked. And I agree. See, I think what happens is all these guys that have gotten jobs, I think everybody focuses on the game plan. No. The game plan's easy. It's Monday through Friday. You got plenty of time. Where this shows up is on Sunday at 1 o'clock when stuff starts happening really quick. What do we do? How do we handle it? How do we fix it? Is Gerard Mayo going to handle that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. It's not easy. It's a little bit like, okay, Brian Callahan's taking over for Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel was really good at game management. He was really good at understanding situations. Brian Callahan's going to be calling the offense. Now, let's not forget, when they didn't have Joe Burrow, this offense was 29th in the league trying to run that three-receiver set out of spread without a quarterback. Not good. But now you got to manage the game, too. That's a hard thing to do.
Your guy, Bill Walsh, was famous for his first 25 plays or his script and the Shanahans as well. But the adjustments at halftime, and I mean, the final drive to go, 13 plays before the catch against that Dallas defense to really vault them in was not part of a script. Yep. It was part of an adjustment.
Right. And people lose sight of that. That's where Zach Orr, is he going to be able to adjust like Mike McDonald? That's why Anthony Weaver, is he going to adjust like Vic Fangio down there? You know, that's why some of these new offensive, can they adjust? Bobby Babbage, now he's got Sean McDermott to help him, but there's concerns about that. You just can't all of a sudden say, oh, well, we're going to be fine. No, it's hard. It's hard. It's fast and furious. You better do it right.
Another great Palms Pressing. This was fun. Fun show today, everybody. Thank you so much for Michael Lombardi, Mike Palm, Mike Somich, who joined us earlier. That's a wrap for us today on the Lombardi Line. But stick around. Plenty more VSiN and DraftKings Network coming up after this. Bye, everybody.